Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Let me say just a couple of things. This is kind of, I guess, in the way of announcements a little bit. I just failed to get it in the bulletin. I told you last year that I wasn't going to say a whole lot, and I'm not going to say a whole lot. I don't want anybody to feel any kind of pressure whatsoever. But we're praying on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, Saturday evenings. And if you'd like to come and join us for prayer, then we would love to have you. What we have decided to do is on the first Saturday, or if for some reason that schedule has to be changed, on the Saturday when we have our prayer and visitation breakfast and our visitation program, that's tying up most of the morning going into the early afternoon, that we wouldn't have the prayer meeting on that day. So if you'd make a note of that, I appreciate the folks. I tell you, there's a lot of things we could do too much of. But I don't believe praying's one of them. Amen. I believe God, Brother Ralph, is pleased when he looks down at Bible Way and said, them folks know they need me. Boy, we need him. We need him. We need his presence. We need his power. If you haven't already done it, you need to find his purpose for your life and get at it. Amen. Because time is swiftly running out. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6 for the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter number 6. The Word of God is so precious. And the closer we get home, I love what Brother Brian taught us in Sunday school. I believe the more important we see that the Word of God is in our lives. Verse 1 of chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Brother Brian, when you were teaching this morning, I might know who that young preacher is, but I believe that's what he was talking about. When we get distracted, whether it's in a church service or whether we've just got our Bible open in our lap, how many knows that even when you kneel to pray, honey, the enemy's going to do his best to distract you. Amen. But in other words, to cause our heart not to be single, in singleness of heart, a concentration, a focus on the things of God. And then the Bible said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That brings up something that I have taught for years. I believe that the judgment seat not only will be brought to light what we've done, but I believe will be brought to light why we've done it. Amen. And the Word of God there, when it said doing the will of God, and then from the heart, out of a heart of love for our Lord and our Savior, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand, may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I was thinking this morning, the importance of the Word of God is focused through these verses that I'm about to read, and thinking about an old preacher and what he said. He said, the Word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word of God. Think about that for just a moment. Amen. The Word of God created me a clean heart. The Word of God, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God, against thee. Amen. The psalmist said. And so the Word of God will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the Word of God. He said here, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, that reminds me of a time when I was in, Huntington, Pennsylvania. I was preaching in a prison, and there was a lady chaplain in that prison. I got through preaching. Here's what she said. She said, boy, you're bold. Well, that's what Paul wanted them to pray for him. Say amen. That God would give him boldness. Amen. Not arrogance, not pride, but boldness to say what needed to be said in that generation that he lived in. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I tell you, we've got enough. Amen. We've got enough preachers in America, amen, that don't have a spine and don't have a backbone. Would you pray that your preacher, and God will raise up some preachers, amen, amen, that'll speak boldly as they ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. I have a hard time with that name, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that you might he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at those two words. In sincerity. Amen. How many wants to love him in sincerity? Amen. Not just be a song, not just be lip service, but be something that's going on down deep in our heart. I want to preach this morning for a little while on this subject, three keys to success in the new year. Three keys to success in the new year. The word success is only used one time in the Bible. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Yeah, that little book, and then Judges, then Ruth, right after the book of Deuteronomy. In verse number 8 of chapter number 1 of the book of Joshua, the Bible said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Seemed like Joshua and the psalmist in Psalm chapter number 1, they understood the importance of the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible said that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Let's pray just a moment. Father, I love you and thank you for loving me. Thank you for that blood that covers our sin. Thank you for that blood that bought and paid for us an entrance into heaven one day after a while. Even now, Lord, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We can raise our hand, raise our heart, raise our voice in praise unto thee. because of that you've done in our heart already. God, there's so many, maybe, Lord, some here this morning that do not know the Savior. How I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to speak the truth in love, to speak, Lord, in a way that, Lord, your Spirit could use the Word of God to convict hearts, to comfort hearts, and, Lord, to convince us, our Lord, that your way always has been, always will be the best way. Lord, we love you. Help us, Lord, to love you in sincerity, to serve you in sincerity. Help us, our Lord, to understand, Lord, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, God, help us, Lord, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What I want to look at here in this chapter is just three things and that God spoke to my heart about. There are definitely more than three things in Ephesians chapter number 6, but I want to just key in on three things that I believe will unlock the door to success in our lives in this upcoming year, this new year that God has given us. The first thing I want to talk about for just a minute is something called an honorable submission. An honorable submission. There's not a lot said about it other than in these first few verses, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It talks about servants being obedient to their masters. How many understands that when Jesus saved you and I, he became the Lord of our life? Amen. For years, I bought into a line of thinking or a doctrine, so to speak, that really is just not so. And that is that a person gets saved and Jesus is the Savior. And then at some point in time, that person decides they want to live for God, then Jesus becomes the Lord of their life. Let me just say it like this. You don't get a Savior without a Lord, and you don't get a Lord without a Savior. I believe when we got saved, we may not have understood it. We may not have submitted entirely to His Lordship, but honey, He doesn't need anybody to make Him Lord. He is Lord. That's why the Bible said He chastens whom He loves. Amen. If we genuinely get saved by the grace of God and we get where we don't want to submit to Him, He'll help us to change our mind. And the Bible even teaches if we don't change our mind, we can purchase ourselves an early ticket out of here. There is a sin unto death. That's not being preached in these days. That's not talking about a sinner. That's talking about a child of God that walks in open and known disobedience and refuses to submit to their Heavenly Father. Amen. And so, if we're going to have a key, the first key is an honorable submission. We need to submit ourselves. The Bible said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then it says these words, for this is right. This is right. And we know that. Amen. Anybody with a brain in their head knows that submission is right. Amen. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The Bible talks about wives submitting themselves to their own husbands. And I'm telling you, children submitting. The husband submitting to the Lord. Amen. I knocked on a door yesterday, and over there it said, as on the plaque on the door, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I like that, don't you? Amen. They weren't ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. An honorable submission. I could say a lot more, but I'm going to move on in the message. Second thing, the key. Listen, if we would admit it, listen, it's not only teenagers that have a problem. Say amen. It's not only babies. Olivia already has a problem with submission. Can you imagine that? With a papaw like she's got, having a problem. You know what her problem is? Her flesh.
Her flesh is just like your flesh and my flesh. We can talk about babies or talk about kids or talk about teenagers. But honey, there's not a one of us whose flesh wants to, my friend, die in submission to the Lord. It don't want to die. That's why it keeps raising its ugly head every time we turn around. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, there needs to be an honorable submission. Then secondly, in the message today, keys to success in the new year, there needs to be a heartfelt service. A service rendered from the heart. The Bible said, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. First thing I thought about when I see that little phrase, not with eye service as men pleasers, was the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Honey, they had it going on, didn't they? I mean, they knew how to drop an offering in the plate that would get everybody's attention. Amen. Amen. I was kidding Brother Houston a while ago. He was standing back there, looked like a check he had folded up, and the guys were passing the plates. I said, somebody get over here. He's got a check he wants to put in. Sister Gwen said, hurry up before he changes his mind. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm making light of that this morning, but the Pharisees, they wanted everybody to know. Hallelujah. Amen. They wanted, my friend, to do it for a show of the flesh. And Jesus looked over and saw a widow that put in two little mites, and she gave more than every one of you. Amen. Because it was from her heart. She gave all of her living. I believe there needs to be a service, don't you? Doing the will of God. The Bible said, from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. This changed your whole attitude. Amen. Will, is that you again? God bless you, buddy. I just seen you. Amen. Hey, listen, this will change our whole mind and our whole heart if we just do everything we do just like we're doing it as to the Lord and not unto men. As to the Lord and not unto men. You see, I believe with all my heart there needs to be a heartfelt service in these days, knowing that whether we do anything good, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. He said, and ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. We have a master. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I believe we ought to submit to him. I believe we ought to serve him. And I believe we ought to do it with gladness. Amen. Every one of us knows what it is. When we were growing up, mama told us to do something, and we did it. We did it. If we weren't gritting our teeth, at least on the inside we were gritting our teeth. How many knows what I'm talking about? We weren't submissive, amen. We weren't serving in the will of God from the heart. Brother Danny Sykes told a story, I'll never forget it. He's talking about a little boy standing up in the truck seat. And his daddy said, sit down, son. He just kept standing there. He said, son, I'm telling you right now, sit down or I'm going to stop this truck and I'm going to wear you out. And so the little boy sat down. He looked over at his dad and he's grinning. He said, what's the matter with you? He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but he said, I'm still standing up on the inside. That's the way we are. Say amen. We might be sitting down sometimes, submitting on the outside, but on the inside, we're still standing up in rebellion against the things of God. God wants us to submit. God wants us to serve. There needs to be an honorable submission. There needs to be a heartfelt service. And then let me give you this, and this is really the thrust of the message that I want to get to today. Not only an honorable submission and a heartfelt service, but there needs to be, in 2016, a hardy, H-A-R-D-Y, a hardy stand. I looked up the definition of the word hardy, and it means robust. It means capable of enduring difficult conditions. You see, when they say a plant is hardy, what that means is it's been taken out of its environment, Brother Brian. Evidently, that coffee plant ain't hardy. Say amen. Can't take it out of its environment over there and bring it over here and expect it to flourish. Amen. And so a hardy plant is something that can flourish in an uncomfortable or a difficult condition. I believe we need to take a stand, a hardy stand, a robust stand. You say, preacher, it just seems like this world, all of it's flowing against the things of God. Let me give you something. It always has been. It always has been. You can look in the lives of the children of Israel. You can look, my friend, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. You can look, my friend, in the days of Noah. You can look in the days of the prophets. I'm just telling you, you can look in the days of Jesus, in the days of the Apostle Paul. It's always been going the wrong way. Always. Much is being manifest today. And we need to take a stand. You say, preacher, what do we get here? Let me give you three things real quickly. Number one, we need strength if we're going to take a stand. The Bible said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How many knows what happens when we stand in the flesh? We'll be defeated. Every preacher knows what that is, probably. Maybe every Sunday school teacher knows what that is. Amen. To stand up and, you know, thinking that you've got it. But I tell you what, we can leave knowing how bad we need Him. Say amen. We need His strength. We need Him to strengthen us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, He was strong, but it was in the Lord. He did not depart from the Word of God. When the devil came, He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. If anybody in the whole wide world could have afforded to do something different, it would have been Jesus. But Jesus set the perfect example for you and I. We're no match for the devil. Amen. How many knows He's coming this year? Amen. I believe He's coming harder, swifter. I believe He's trying to destroy homes. I believe He's trying to destroy lives. I believe He's trying to destroy churches. And my friend, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There needs to be a hardy stand. We need strength. Then secondly, not only do we need strength, but we need soldiers. We need them clothed and we need them armed. The Bible said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You remember back there in 1 Samuel, I believe, 17, when David was about to face Goliath. Saul tried to talk him out of it. He said, you're just a youth. He said, this man's been a soldier. He's been a warrior from his youth. And he saw that he couldn't talk David out of it. David said that he told him about the lion. He told him about the bear. And he said, this giant will be just like the lion and the bear. The same God that delivered them into my hand will deliver him. And so Saul saw he couldn't talk him out of it. So Saul said, here, take my armor. You know what I believe the devil wants to do? When he sees somebody that is determined to serve God, he wants to swap armor. He wants you to use an armor that doesn't work. He wants you to use an armor that's weak. You know what David told Saul? He said, I can't go with these. And the reason he said, I can't go with them is I have not proved them. But David had a little bag. And he had a little sling. He had something that he knew how to use. Amen. I believe if ever there's a generation that needs to learn how to use the Word of God, it's the generation that we live in. Amen. David said, I can't go with these. I've not proved them. They didn't fit. You know what I love about the Holy Spirit? When there's stuff in our life that don't fit, He'll let us know. Preacher don't even have to preach on what don't fit. Say amen. All he's got to do is say there's stuff that don't fit. And the Holy Ghost will let us know exactly what it is. Amen. Amen. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen to me carefully right here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time right here. But we're making a mistake in America if we think ISIS is what we're wrestling against. Honey, there's something behind that a whole lot bigger than a bunch of Muslims. Our enemy is the devil. Our enemy is the spiritual wickedness. They're enemies of Christ. They're enemies of His gospel. They're enemies of His people. And my friend, they hate our guts. We're wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me say this to you this morning. We are no match in and of ourselves for the spiritual wickedness in the high places. That's why we need a Bible. That's why we need prayer. Let me just say this to you in 2016. That's why we need each other. That's why we need the church. Say amen. God knew, amen, that, my friend, we needed strength, that we could draw strength from one another, draw strength from His Word, and draw strength from a life of prayer. We've seen here the strength and the soldiers. We see the warfare going on. And then we see the weaponry. The Bible said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I believe there's times when we need to stand. And then I believe there's times when the enemy's going to come against us. We're going to have to withstand the enemy. And we're going to have to stand strong in the power of His might. He said, stand therefore. Here's how we can stand. Having our loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I read a little story, and I tell you about faith, and it really blessed my heart. It blessed my heart. Most of the time, and I'm guilty, when we're talking about faith, the emphasis is on us having faith. Amen. The story went like this. There's a little boy on the rooftop of a burning house. His house is on fire. And there's flames and there's smoke. And the little boy can hear his daddy down below saying, jump, son, jump, jump, son. I'll catch you, jump, son. And the little boy said, daddy, I can't see you. And daddy looked up and said, honey, I can see you, and that's all that matters. Glory to God, we need that kind of faith, that He can see us, and that's all that matters. He will take care of us. We need that kind of faith, that regardless of what we face, there's a God in heaven that's greater than the enemy, and we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'll get just another thing or two here and I'll be done. I read where the National Geographic ran an article about an Alaskan bull moose. And the males, this goes on in about everything that grows antlers. White-tailed deer, mule deer. What's that one that comes out of Australia, Missy? The red stag. These animals that grow these big and massive antlers. It goes on. The males of the species battle for dominance during the fall breeding season. Literally going head to head with antlers crunching together as they collide. Often the antlers, their only weapon are broken. And when they are, that ensures defeat. The heftiest moose with the largest and strongest antler, he wins, he triumphs. Therefore, the battle fought in the fall is really won during the summer when the moose eat continually. The one that consumes the best diet for growing antlers and gaining weight will be the heavyweight champion in the fight. Those that eat inadequately sport weaker antlers and less bulk. There is a lesson here for us. Spiritual battles are ahead of us. Satan will choose a season to attack. We will be victorious or will we fall? Much depends on what we do now, before the war begins. We need enduring faith. We need to be feeding on the Word of God. We need to be strong in the Lord before it's time to clash with the enemy. Amen. Our diet needs to be. Jesus said when He taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus knows that for us to be strong, we have to have a diet that will sustain us. It comes out of this old book, the Word of the Living God. I believe it's important, don't you? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The last thing that we see here, if we're going to take a hardy stand, we see we need strength, we need soldiers, but we need supplication. The Bible said in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In days gone by, there was a lot more preaching about perseverance. It seems like we're living in a generation where people just give up real easily. Amen. But in days gone by, Brother Ralph, the old preachers preached about pressing on, persevering. Don't give up. Don't give in. Take your stand on the things of God. You know what I pray about our church? I pray we won't give up. I pray we won't give in. Oh, Satan, he'll come along and he'll whisper a lot of different things. He'll try to get a lot of different things in. Somebody help me right there. Amen. He'll say there's something better in that old time singing, that old time preaching, that old time fellowship. I tell you, y'all just get on this new train. I'm telling you right now, folk, we need to stay in the book. Amen. Jeremiah said, seek out the old path. And he said, when you find it, walk therein. There ain't nothing wrong with the path. There's something wrong with the people that won't submit to the path. The old path will still work. The old path, praying, always. Jesus told us to watch and to pray. If we're not praying, we're not watching. And if we're not watching, we're not praying. May God help us. Three keys. There's an honorable submission. There's a heartfelt service. And then, my friend, here in the Word of God, as we talk about this, there's that stand, having done all to stand, a hearty, a robust. I don't know about you all. I think some of you all know what I'm talking about. But we've had a good year. God has blessed us. You know what you better do? You better brace. And you better draw near to God. We better stay strong in the things of the Lord. Because if you think the enemy's going to set by, you see what he'll do, he might not come in and fire a shot right out among us. But what he'll do is he'll try to pick us off. Brother Steve, he'll try to pick your family off. He'll try to pick an individual off. He'll try to pick a teenager off. I mean, he knows I'm telling it right. And we've got a year ahead of us. We need to look unto Jesus. We need to look out for one another. Pray for one another. And take a hearty stand. Because there may be some difficult waters ahead. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When those waves, Brother Kurt, are over our head, I like to be reminded that's under His feet. When we're swamped, He's walking on the swamp. He can handle it. And we need to look to him and trust him to do exactly that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege, Lord, to preach a little bit out of the book of Ephesians on these keys to success in this new year. God, we are looking ahead. We know we don't have a promise of even the evening service or even our afternoon meal. But God, if you do give us another day, if you do give us another year, then God, I pray, when we get to the end of that year, we could be able to look back and say, God's been good. God saved folk, added to his church. God has strengthened folk. God has helped people, Lord, to overcome and to be victors instead of victims in their circumstances. God, I just pray today, Lord, as we've concentrated for just a few minutes in the scripture on the need for submission, the need for service, the need to stand in this evil day and to withstand. God, I pray you speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord. Lord, to know, God, that when we can't see you, you can see us. Help us, Lord, to be able to jump into your arms, knowing, God, that you know what we need even before we ask. Lord, I pray for those that may be here today lost, for those, God, that are here today facing, Lord, terrible trials and circumstances. I pray for them. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help them.